Happy Sunday. Wonderful, humid, hot Sunday here where I live in London, Ontario. I'm Katie.
Oh, and good morning. I'm Eric in Seattle, where it's nice and cool, as always.
Well, not as always. Sometimes it gets slightly muggy, and sometimes it gets downright cold, and you guys lose your mind.
It's true. We are a little sensitive.
But that's okay. That's also not why you called. What we do when it gets too hot or too cold or too rainy or too windy or just too darn nice outside and we can't handle ourselves, we come inside and we watch TV. And then we do a podcast and talk about it.
Struth.
So we are 30-minute reviews, and we like to talk about all the shows that people like to watch, don't like to watch, might like to watch. And so what we're doing is one show, one episode at a time, one show per episode. We'll talk for about 30 minutes and tell you guys why we think you should watch it. And we have a really fun pick for today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's The Mandalorian.
It is The Mandalorian.
Which you may view on Disney Plus.
Or Disney Blue, as we say in Canada. Nobody says that. So here's the thing I want to say before we launch into this epic show that I think everyone should watch, especially if you're a Star Wars fan, but maybe even if you're not. And that is that with the crazy-ass times that have happened in the past 18 plus months, as we say in Canada, nobody says that, there has been a plethora of free time where we find ourselves, you know, wanting to kind of escape, zone out. There, the TV has kind of stepped up and met the challenge. Like, I have to say, kudos to everybody making TV right now in this crazy time, because starting at the very beginning of the end times, the plague, as we call it up here, there were shows that we kind of gravitated toward en masse. There were shows that we had never had a chance to see before that people had raved about. And we were like, someday when we have free time. And then all of a sudden we had free time. So if you were a child growing up in the 70s, as we were, and maybe partially the 80s, there was a lot of this, what are we going to do? It's raining. And, you know, mom said not to go anywhere. We used to turn on the TV and just watch and watch and watch and watch. And so that's what we've been doing. Like, it's been great for TV files.
Yep. And I appreciate the shows that have bent over backwards to continue production even during the pandemic. For example, there was an heroic effort by the show The Blacklist. They were filming an episode and had to stop right in the middle of it. And so to complete the episode, they animated half of it.
Gosh.
And with the you know, actors doing voiceovers and stuff like that. That was amazing. And at the end of the episode, they had just a tiny, you know, like during the credits, almost a, you know, behind the scenes of, you know, how they did it and everything like that. And apologies for, like, you know, sorry, half the episode's animated, but, you know, plague. And so, yeah, I appreciate any show that has been able to maintain any sort of production schedule. And I follow some of the stars of the Hallmark Channel, you know, that turns out, you know, tons of rom-coms and stuff like that. And the stars have been showing behind the scenes of how they've been filming, you know, with all the precautions and stuff like that. And, you know, and limiting that they have to get tested, you know, twice an hour and all of that. And so I appreciate. Yeah, I really appreciate any production that has, you know, made an effort to stay safe and keep going at the same time to satisfy our needs for entertainment at a particularly important time where we need it, you know, where we need stay-at-home entertainment.
I agree. And the other thing is every show has had to make a choice, you know, like, hey, we're based in this world in current times. Do we mention the pandemic? Do we mention Black Lives Matter? Do we mention Trump? Do we mention Afghanistan? You know, so each show is kind of taking it either, no, you know what? We live in an alternate universe, so we're not even going to mention that there was a plague. or, hey, you know what? No, we're going to roll with all today's sensitive topics and try to do our best to make people, you know, more aware of the nuances, what have you. So for example, I like how Mythic Quest didn't mention it, but they had a Zoom, right? They had like the special episode with the Zoom call with all of them. That was great. Mm-hmm. There's another show I watch. Oh my gosh. And it just flew out of my head. The name of the show. Oh no. But they basically, as soon as it started, you know, they were supposed to come back after a hiatus in the spring and they didn't. So they had their first episode be a Zoom call. They talked all about the pandemic. And then their first episode back after production began, they talked all about Black Lives Matter. And it was great. It's a black judge. And so it was just fantastic the way they did it. I'm typing Black Judge Lady TV show as fast as I can. Oh no. Why? All Rise, it's called. Oh, such a good show if you haven't seen it.
I have not. No.
It's a drama, but the way they do it is it's just straight in your face. I can't even explain it. Like she literally, she'll get to work and she'll just be like, yeah, I can't even today. And her secretary will run in and just give her a cup of tea and remind her that she has to kind of like, it's really just, it's not just, I'm a judge and everything's awesome. It's like, I'm a judge, I'm black, it's America, and we're in a plague and Black Lives Matter and everything sucks, you know? So, and so how can we kind of deal while we're still trying to do good works, while we're trying to not get fired or be, you know, tagged as political or tagged as biased? It's pretty great. Okay. But
and that's on the CBS network, I see.
It is, yeah. But I just liked how they handled the pandemic and Black Lives Matter. And then I had a friend who said, I'm so sick of every TV show talking about the pandemic and Black Lives Matter, like Grey's Anatomy did and like, you know, Station 19 did and all these shows. And I'm like, but what do you expect them to do? Like, this is happening in the world that they've created and they've talked about other things, you know, as they've happened, so they can't just change now. Well, then, if you go to a galaxy far, far away, you don't have to deal with, you know, with any of these things, except you do, because most of it's a metaphor. But, okay, if you're a fan of Star Wars, which I are, a huge fan of Star Wars, then, like The Mandalorian, you shall. So, The Mandalorian, very briefly, as self-described, is the Mandalorian travels the galaxy out of reach of the New Republic after the fall of the Empire in the first Star Wars live action series, in Disney Plus's first Star Wars live action series. And it delivers everything it promises. He is traveling the galaxy. He is out of the reach of the New Republic and it is live action and it's definitely Star Wars, but it has improved upon Star Wars, I think, you know, because previously the live action has been in movies and many of them can be argued to be, you know, good, fun. Some are awesome. Some are not awesome.
Varying quality.
There you go. Thank you. So The Mandalorian is a lot of fun. You know, I could list 100 reasons why it's an enjoyable show and why you should watch it, but at its core is the misnomer Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda is the greatest thing to walk onto the television screen since, I don't know, Gilligan. Like, he's just freaking great. I just love him. He is not a baby, and nor is he Yoda. Like, none of those things are true. But it doesn't matter. We call him Baby Yoda. We will always call him Baby Yoda. So
he became a meme, a very social phenomenon there for a while.
Within moments. It's still, I still see a Yoda meme at least once. A Baby Yoda meme at least once a week. So he's pretty fantastic. He's pretty great. His personality is excellent. he's adorable and sweet and naive and somehow irreverent and snarky at the same time. The Mandalorian is stoic and honorable and has to make tough choices, not the least of which is, what do I do with this baby Yoda that I'm suddenly roped with? And that happens early on in the episode, so that is not a spoiler. It's just great. If you're a huge fan of Star Wars, you'll see lots of nods to kind of really cool lore and peripheral things. If you're not, it's just a really good, solid sci-fi action adventure show.
And that is what attracted me to it, actually. I'm a medium grade, I guess, Star Wars fan. I'm not super into it, but I consume all of it, you know.
Sure.
And I've, you know, seen all the movies, of course. But really, my core Star Wars experience, I've come to consider, is the Clone Wars, the various Clone Wars series. Because
really? They are,
yeah, they are surprisingly
They're excellent. Deep,
well done. Mm-hmm. Very well acted and, you know, drawn and everything like that. And it has, in my mind, a number of accomplishments, including, for example, taking minor characters that are in the universe, expanding on them and making them really deep and significant and interesting. And, you know, there's Darth Maul, the, you know, red-faced horned bad guy that was cut in half with a lightsaber, spoiler, in one of the you know, prequel movies.
Sure.
And in
and
the
we
movie
thought he were dead. Yep.
Yeah. In the movies, kind of that character was kind of, well, you know, kind of wasted, you know, because he showed
up.
Because
he was so badass.
Right. He was you know, he showed up for just really a lightsaber fight, and that was pretty much it. And, you know, he was cut down before you knew it, and that was that. But in and we all thought, you know, well, that guy's super dead, you know. But
right.
The Clone Wars series said, wait a minute, who is this character and what motivates him? And also, he's still alive, and we have a way to do that. And they had a whole story arc behind that character that was amazing. It took a character that was completely minor and forgettable, made that character major and interesting and deep, and what an accomplishment. I really enjoyed that whole experience. And so there's the Clone Wars. That's that. Mm-hmm. For The Mandalorian, like I say, I'm a medium fan. I don't know who are the Mandalorians. The only knowledge I have really about them is, speaking of, from Clone Wars. And all I know really is that they're on their planet. They focus on honor, and the suit of armor that they have is very important to them. And that's almost pretty much it. It's kind of a warrior culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, pretty much all I got going.
The suit of armor is the literal embodiment of, you know, notches in people's belts, or, you know, mm-hmm. the tear tattoo. Like, as they accomplish their quests, they're given pieces of armor or pieces of the ore that they can turn into, of the metal they can turn mm-hmm. into armor. So the shinier they are, literally, the better and more respected mm-hmm. they are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I didn't know hardly anything at all about Mandalorians going into it. And like I say, I'm a medium fan of Star Wars. I don't get super deep into anything, you know, the lore or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Is, and to continue to harp on the Clone Wars in the movies, they talk about restoring balance to the Force, but they never explain what that is. But the Clone Wars series does in
right.
detail. And so, like, oh, I get it now. And so anyway, Clone Wars seems to, like, fix every problem that Star Wars presents, you know, and make it really
does.
Good. Uh-huh. And so anywhoozle, they said, oh, Mandalorian's live action's coming soon. All right, well, I'll watch it, you know, because like I say, Star Wars, medium Star Wars fan, I'll consume the product. And then I sat down to it and I realized, oh my gosh, this show is amazing. And here's why I recommend it. I recommend it if you are not a Star Wars fan, because it is decoupled enough from the lore and continuity of Star Wars that it is pretty much pretty much a standalone science fiction Western series. And you don't hardly need to know a damn thing about Star Wars to understand what's going on, because it's everything is self-contained. Here's this character, the Mandalorian. He has a mission, and it's very explained what that thing is. It's very simple, the story, and you don't have to know. It doesn't really call out any particular characters, you know, that I recall off the top of my head. It doesn't like refer to the major characters at all, or if they do, it's in passing. You know, they don't figure prominently. It is, you know, here's what happens in the Star Wars universe away from everything else, away from the main characters and the giant plot lines and the, you know, galaxy ending plots and stuff like that. Here is this guy with his struggles and what he's doing in his corner of the galaxy. And it's, that's entirely where the story is contained. And it's such an entertaining story. It's amazingly well produced. Well acted. The whole thing is 100% professional and well done, and it's produced by Jon Favreau,
who can do no wrong in my whole life.
Right, he is the producer behind the, or has done a bunch of the Avengers, Marvel Cinematic Universe movies and stuff like that. Directed some and whatnot. And anyway, he knows what he's doing, and he's the. I think he's the showrunner behind it, and he has brought his expertise, and he's hired amazing directors for the different episodes. And each season, there are two seasons, each season is very short. It's 8 episodes, and I can't remember the runtime, but they're not super long. I think they're like 45 minutes, I want to say.
And oh, gosh. Now I'm trying to think how long they are, but yeah, I
can look each it one up. is bite-sized, and at the end of each one you will die in order to see the next episode because it not so much on a cliffhanger, a dire cliffhanger, but you at the same time can't wait to find out what happens next.
It's very and well so done.
It's amazing to see a non-cliffhanger, you know, like someone's not literally hanging from a cliff, but at the same time, you want to know.
Where did they go after they got off the cliff? Yeah.
Right. You know, so, the practical special effects are amazing. And the whole thing, soup to nuts, is excellent. There's probably no aspect of the show that is done poorly, and I enjoy in particular the soundtrack and the way it is just obviously a Western just set in space, and
which is what Star Wars is. All of Star Wars is just a space Western.
So The Mandalorian embraces that with a very tight hug. And if you just like a good entertaining television, and even though half of anything about Star Wars, you'll love this show. All you need to know, really, all you need to know is it's a science fiction Western. Also, it's set in the Star Wars universe, but don't sweat that part.
I want to say a couple of things, one of which you touched on, the music. Artistically, the show is stunningly gorgeous, even though it's, you know, set in on Dusty's planets out in space that you've never seen. It doesn't matter because it's so richly done. You know, the dull colors of the desert are used with a great purpose. I find the opening and closing credits are stunningly gorgeous. The music is beautiful. Yes. It's just artistically very rich and rewarding. And the other thing I want to say is, so one of the things about the Mandalorian in the old culture of the Mandalorians, I think, is the plural, but I always like to joke around and say Mandalori and stuff. But anyway, is that they leave part of their honor is not seeking glory. You know, the job is its own reward. And the only reason they seek karma is just to improve themselves and do better next time, which is extra honorable, of course. So one of the things that they espouse in the olden times is that they don't show their face, that nobody ever sees their face, that they eat alone, and that's the only time they uncover their face is to eat or maybe bark. And that's it. And so the Herculean acting job that Pedro Pascal, the lead who plays the Mandalorian, has to do, because you don't see, you hear his voice and you see his, you know, his armor, but you never see his face. And think about acting and trying to convey mood and tone and, you know, intent when you have no way to use your eyes or mouth or express anything except head tilts or grunting. It's amazing. And he's so, so good. Like, I'm so impressed. He's been in a lot of stuff. Like, all of a sudden he was in a flurry of things, after he was in Game of Thrones, where he was also excellent. And I just have to say that I wasn't sure how this was going to go. I thought, oh, he's going to need this great supporting cast and they're all going to have to prop him up, because he's just going to be kind of stomping around looking we have no idea what's on his mind. Man, do you know what's on his mind every second of every day that he's on screen? It's pretty great.
Amazing, especially since there are no moving parts on his helmet. You know, his head is completely covered by,
it's not like 100% his ears can go up or, nothing. Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't light up or anything. No, you know, it's completely inert.
Like R2, you know, acting. When he's excited because he hops around and beeps and boops and his head spins around, the lights. No, nothing. You're right. But the other thing is, they didn't think, oh, he's doing such a great job, we don't need a tremendous supporting cast. The cast is excellent. The everybody in it is excellent, from people that you've never heard of to the cameos by, just great. Just great. you know who I'm thinking of right off the bat, right? Timothy Olyphant does a great cameo in it. He's so great. Please don't tell me that you don't know who Timothy Olyphant is. Oh my God.
I recognize the name.
Tall and thin. He was in Justified. He's the guy in the worm episode.
Yes.
He's so great. And he's I want to say he's a dramatic actor with a comedic bent. Like, if you need somebody that's super sarcastic and super irreverent, that's who you call.
He was in that series on, was it Netflix? I'm the thinking zombie. Of the the undead suburban.
The Santa Clarita show. Diet.
Yes.
He's the husband. Yeah. I love him. We could do a whole episode on Timothy. I love him. I love him. He just cameos like that are like, oh yeah, this is great. And, and then the recurring characters that you keep meeting up with are excellent too. But the other thing is, whoever's doing the puppetry and magics around, I'll continue to call him Baby Yoda, because you don't learn his name until way late in the first season. So it is excellent as well. So good. It's so good. Everything, it just evokes such a great and magical mood that, you know, even if you know where things are going, you know, like, you're like, yeah, the standoff and the baby's good, whatever, you're just it's still wonderfully done, and you're still surprised and delighted by it. So
speaking of you know, dramatic performances where the actor's face is covered for all or almost all of it. I would also recommend, I would also recommend Carl Urban's performance in the 2012 remake of Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Which I hasten to add, it's just titled Dredd, Dredd.
Yes.
That is actually a good movie. And also, I know really nothing about.
I like how you qualify it, actually.
Because you wouldn't think it is.
No one believes
would be,
you.
You know.
Yeah.
Because the first one was kind of super dumb, and but this remake is very serious, and It's an action film, and but anyway, Carl Urban spends the entire film in his helmet costume thing, never takes it off. We never see his eyes, you know, for
Yeah.
example, and he does an excellent job of acting through his helmet. And so I recommend Dread, the movie, you know, from 2012.
If you like acting through a helmet.
Yes, that is a good example to follow. Which Pedro Pascal does in The Mandalorian. Yeah, he uses the entire suit, his entire body, to act. And like you say, you see all of his emotions, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You can tell when he's happy and when he's super
But it's
dejected
not
and super
overdone.
frustrated.
Yeah, it's
Right.
not just heavy sigh, slump shoulders. It's like very subtle. It's very well done. Yeah,
He has an excellent sense of timing. He knows exactly how many beats to spend just standing still, you know, to let something sink in and then
and then what,
act or
marching
react
off?
to it.
Yeah, for sure. No, he does. And it's probably in part because we know how he feels, like, but I think it's like a, it's kind of, it's a nice little circle. Like, you get to know him because of his great acting, and then as you go along, you know how he's going to react to stuff because you've come on this journey with him. And by the way, can we just say that if you've made it this far, and if you haven't seen it and you've decided to watch it, even if you're not a fan of Star Wars, you will be absolutely tickled and delighted with the latter half of season two. If you've seen Clone Wars, so I have a dear friend who's a huge, I mean, we're all Star Wars fans, but I'm not like in like I didn't go in a deep dive with Clone Wars. I had seen a few in season one, and that show got exponentially better in the latter seasons, of course.
True.
Technically and story-wise. But anyway, I had a friend that literally wrote down for me, before you watch The Mandalorian, watch these episodes of Clone Wars. And I'm like, really?
Oh,
There's homework?
interesting.
And I watched them, the ones that you're talking about when you refer, to Darth Maul and stuff, and the balancing of the Force, and the ones with Obi-Wan and stuff. And the ones with the ones that are important for introducing some of the characters that we see later, like Ahsoka and her, is it her
Oh, yeah.
sister? So what's cool though is then when you realize who they choose to do these previously and only animated characters in live action, and you think, oh, how are they going to do this, right? It's like, oh gosh, are they trying to do Powerpuff Girls movie or something? Like, it can get pretty, when you've only watched these beloved characters in animated form, how are you going to bring them to life without it being super chintzy? Oh my gosh, they do such a good job. They do such a good job. Like, and yeah, and it's not easy. And they give extra nods all over the place to other sci-fi IPs in who they bring in, and it's just great. Like voices of, and it's so great. It's so great. Yeah, it's really great. They've done such a tremendous job, and I think partially, well, or a lot, because Favreau, as you mentioned, he's just got all the nerd sauce that you want, like all of it, right? Like he's our age exactly, by the way, maybe a tiny bit older, but like he grew up in the 70s and 80s liking all the same things we did as nerds. And so to the point where his multi episode story arc cameo in Friends yonks ago, he kind of played like the Elon Musk type guy. He was a loaded guy who was a tech guru and owned everything. And when they went to his house, it was like a museum of nerd stuff, right? Like, I love that even back then, they were like, you're just going to play like a rich eccentric guy. He's like, okay, but if I'm eccentric, I collect like nerd stuff. Like, I have a comic book collection. I have a stormtrooper in my bedroom and stuff like that. So I think that's just who he is. He's just delighted in these things for so long. He wants to take them now with all the technology and the money thrown behind it. He wants to take this stuff to the next level, and he has done that. So thank you, John, for that. Thank you for The Mandalorian, because it's been excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Top recommendation.
Yeah, I think it's done with a ton of love and care, and that's what's important. And he's staying true to arcs that are important to the avid fans. There's a lot you can take or leave. You know, you don't have to buy into the whole religion of the Force and the whole balancing of the Force. But if you do, he's done a great job. And if you don't believe in that bunk, it doesn't matter, because it's still... Exactly. He treats it all very, very well. So, yeah. Yeah. Wow. That I wasn't sure if we could fill a half hour, and we did very quickly. Very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to go rewatch it. Yeah, time flies
when the show is, right? Right? Yeah, I just want to hear the musical zing, you know, from the beginning of every episode.
Isn't it funny, because... Some of the episodes, I'm like, yeah, that was a good episode, yay. And then some of them, I'm like, I want to go watch that. Like, even if I've seen it, I want to go watch it again. So mm-hmm, funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now I can do some thank yous. Huge thank you to Discord that we use to record, and Audacity that we record the recording on. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it works. Anchor by Spotify is where we prep our podcasts. I haven't mentioned this in a couple of episodes, but the TV Time app, if you don't have it, and if you like TV, get the TV Time app. You will be so happy you did. You can track what you've seen in the past, what you're missing. It's fantastic. You can be watching several excellent shows at the same time, and even some of the bad ones. It's very satisfying to take the bad ones off your list too. It's like, you have stopped watching this. It's like, yeah, I have. So TV Time app, thank you for that. And our post-production guru, Ben.
Yay, Ben, thank you.
Thanks, Ben. And yeah, and thank you, Eric, for being here week after week to talk about TV with us.
Yay, it's fun.
Yeah, it is. All right, so do you have an idea for next time, for the next episode?
Oh,
she said,
I'm a
putting
blank.
Him on the spot. I have an interesting idea. Maybe it doesn't have to be for next time, but it could be for a time, which is, I thought we could do an episode just talking about late night talk shows, like Letterman and Fallon and Conan, all the Jimmys.
sure. Yeah.
Cause
that would be interesting.
I watch the heck out of those and you don't. So I thought that might be kind of cool.
Yeah. Thoughts are already forming in my
head. See, there you go. It writes itself. Right. All right. Well, until then, have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.
Right. Ciao.
Bye-bye.